people. But let me brag about Joel. You taught me this probably a good dozen or so years ago. You taught me this, and I've tried to do it ever since. Because I was with Joel a couple times, and he always asked the person, whether it's a waitress or a stranger or something, so what's your name? And I never thought of the importance of doing that. So now, when I met those two families just up the road, one way or the other, I write their names down. And so I can remember to pray, but so when I do run into them a second time, I can say, hey, bud, how you doing? No, I can say their name. How you doing? So you reach into their lives, and see, it's not a complicated thing, but it's an important thing to walk across the room, take the initiative, strike up a conversation, and find out how they're doing. Now, sometimes people won't say how they're doing. That's all right. And you can give it a try down the road again when you meet them again. But give them that opportunity. I had a lot of good things happen this week. Having these guys come and help me with the wiring and the rooms down in the youth center and stuff like that. You know, one of the guys, well, I already told you, was Tabby. I said, Tabby, you ever do any wiring before? No, I can hammer nails, but I don't know about wiring. I said, do all the houses have electricity over in Romania? No, not where I live. So a lot of them don't even have plumbing. You know what Hannah's dad and mom gave them for a wedding present when they got married? Enough money to have someone put plumbing for a sink and a toilet in their house. Yeah. And they're still a lot better than some of the other places I've ministered, like the ghettos of Egypt. But to take the time, never had anyone take the time to show interest in how I'm doing. I already prayed this prayer, but I'll tell you, I'll let you know on a prayer I prayed. I prayed for everybody that comes here today and hears this. God will do something to burn that thought into your heart, into your mind, the rest of your life, that people need that. They need to have someone ask them how they're doing and be honest. Is that a good thing to pray about? Don't shake your head, because last week I said, everybody work on their testimony. I mean it. Okay, work on your testimony, but this is even more important. Walk across the room to a total stranger to look for an opportunity, to strike up a conversation, to find out how they're doing. Now, those four people, we have Joel, Carrie, you remember? You probably didn't sleep all week because of thinking about it, right? And Stuart couldn't make it, so I might pick a number four. Oh, no. And Stacy. But what I want you to do is just come on. I'm a stranger. You come up and you walk across the hall and say, hi, I'm Stacy. Hi, I'm Carrie. Hi, I'm Joel. What's your name? And they tell you, and then you just go with what you feel like God puts in your mind. God wouldn't put on your mind, do you raise elephants? But he might put in your mind, so where do you live? Do you have a job? Do you have any kids? Things like that. Just to break the ice and start making a conversation with someone, and you only get 3 minutes to do that. So, after that, there's my stopwatch. He's using the bathroom. He'll be back. Who else has a stopwatch until you got one? You can take over. until Daryl gets back. Okay. So let's try that. Joel, why don't you come on up here first? And I'm your strange-looking stranger.
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing? My name's Joel. What's yours?
Joel. My name's Jess. Glad to meet you, Joel.
I've been seeing you around and kind of thought I'd come over and ask you, do you live in the area?
Yeah, I only live about 2 miles from here, up the road. Been living there for 42 years. How about yourself? Where do you live?
I live outside of Light Street.
Okay, so you got to be ready for the stranger might ask a question, you respond. But again, you take charge of this conversation and keep bringing it back.
Yes. So do you have any family? Are you married? Or?
Yeah, I'm thinking of a word that won't embarrass her if I signed out. I got a knock out of a woman. Anyway, yes, I'm married.
All right. Children?
Yeah.
Are they doing well?
Yeah. One of them went through a divorce a couple years ago, but that's pretty hard. But I'll trust it works out for them.
Yeah, I went through a divorce myself. Didn't like it at all, but God's the one that pulled me through.
God helped you?
Yes.
Now, sometimes they'll say, well, let's talk about something else. But sometimes they might say, well, how did God help you with that? What would you say?
Well, it wasn't so much a things I did, but it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I asked him to come into my heart and rule and reign in my life, and it just somehow the problems started dropping off.
Well, I'm ready for him to drop off of me. We're still going, huh? Oh! Well, let me tell you, I got 4 kids. What was your name again?
Joel.
Oh, Joel.
J-O-E-L, like the prophet.
Oh, okay. What's a prophet?
Some folks in the old Bible, and most of the time you see them in the Old Testament, where they talked about them a lot, and they were a spokesperson for God. Sometimes they tell the future, sometimes they just tell commands from God.
Oh, that's pretty strange, but I'll believe you. I was going to tell you, I got 20 grandkids.
Ooh, 20 grandkids.
20. There might be more on the way, but 20 so far. What?
Well, that'll keep you busy.
Oh, it will keep me busy, but it's a good busy. You got 4 seconds. Okay. Yes, good job, Joel. You see, again, you have to just kind of go with the flow, right? You don't know what they're going to say, and you're not going to ask them, and you respond, and then the guy trying to befriend somebody is responding too.
Yeah, 2 biggest things for me is to be able to listen. You want to listen to people. If you listen Amen. To people these days, they think you're the world's greatest person.
Say that again.
If you listen to people these days, they will think you're the world's greatest person. Because nobody wants to listen. They just want to blab about what's happening to them.
Yep.
And another thing is...
I heard that in a sermon.
When you shake people's hands, too, you don't want to crush their hand and you don't want to be like a limp fish. Just give them a normal handshake. Some people are the macho man.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
You know what I did? We did this, and you closed it on my couple of fingers. And that's a wimpy hold.
Yeah.
So I opened up. I want to get at least a firm grip.
John
right?
Wayne handshake, I call it.
Okay. Oh, let's see. Carrie, you're next. Okay, you got it, Daryl? 3 minutes? You don't have to start until she's up here and she says something. Then you start it.
Hi, how are you today?
Oh, I'm fine. Who are you?
My name's Carrie. I was working over at the store and I saw you come in.
What store is that?
Oh, over the grocery store over in Benton. You were in there the other day and I saw
you. Oh, yeah. I wanted to get something, but I don't remember what it was. Well, glad to meet you.
Yeah. We see a lot of people in there because, you know, it's a small store, and I figured you look familiar. And when I saw you outside, I thought I'd stop by.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. How's your week been?
What's your name again?
Carrie.
Oh, okay, Carrie. My week, I've had a really, really busy but full and productive and encouraging week.
Oh, good. So what was happening that was encouraging?
Well, I had a chance to pray with my dentist, and it brought tears to his eyes, and it brought tears to my eyes that he was touched that much. That I know you might not be a Christian, but that's where I'm at, and that was really special to me.
Oh, that is neat, because I had the chance to talk to, I didn't pray with her, but somebody that I saw at work was just discouraged, and I got to encourage them. So
yeah.
It's neat when that happens, huh?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I wouldn't mind it happening every day. But anyway.
Did you get to follow up with them yet? Or?
It's not even been a week yet. So, and I don't want to have to go back to the dentist. But I'll probably stop by and say, can I speak to Buddy? And then go in and say, just checking up on you. How's things going? Did you hear from your son? And he might never, but I want him to know that I care, okay? Enough to take some time to stop and walk across the hall and say hi.
Yeah, so. That's important. Is there anything that we can pray for you today?
Oh, how long a paper do you have? A list. Well, yeah. There's a verse in the Bible that says that when you stumble, God will make sure you don't fall. And that's my new favorite verse, because I stumble a lot. Matter of fact, I found this shirt on the internet, and Joy must not be, not Joy, but Tammy must not be here. There's Tammy. Tammy, maybe I'll get you a shirt and let you make this. This is my shirt. It says, Jesus took naps. Be like Jesus.
I need that shirt.
Well, I don't get a nap every day, but I feel like if I had a chance, I'd just fall down and fall asleep. So my energy level's not good. So I'm going to see what kind of prayer you pray for that. Okay. Go ahead and go for it. Give it all you got.
Okay.
Carrie, right?
Yep.
Okay, Carrie.
Lord, we thank you for this week that Jesse's had. We thank you for that opportunity you gave him. We just ask for blessing for that friendship and that communication and that prayer. And Lord, we just, the time that he invests in other people, ask that we give him time to rest and just rest in you, both spiritually and physically. We just ask that we would make that time aside for him just to sit and reflect and rest and feel refreshed again. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. We still got time? That's it. Good job. It was Carrie, right?
Yes.
Okay. Stacy, I didn't even think of number four. So you're number three. You're going to be number four. Come on up, Stacy. Now, you know why I picked Stacy? I don't know if it was you that shared this with me. I think you did. Webb might have said something too. Webb's not here today, but yeah. Stacy used to work in a bar around here. She was a waitress, right? Bartender, okay. And she shared this with me, and I think Webb alluded to this several times. Stacy has this ability because she meets all these strange people coming in and wouldn't get drunk. That yeah, I know, not all of them, but some of them. But you have a way of striking up a conversation with all these people and how you're able to minister to people over the years. So, pardon?
My battlefield.
That's a good battlefield to have. And we all have to have a battlefield, whether it's a dentist in a dentist chair or whatever you're doing, to be able to connect with people to encourage them. So I'm just giving you a little background. She's probably going to be an amazing example for you. Put a little pressure on, huh? But anyway, are you ready? Go.
So,
You can put me wherever you want.
Okay. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
What brings you in here?
What am I doing here? Well, I'm getting my teeth worked on by a guy with a big long needle. Why?
Oh, is that like later you're going to have that done?
No, it's okay, it'll happen again before I die. But anyway, so why do you ask?
Well, some people come in with different ideas and reasons why they need company. They need to talk about what's on their mind.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of times I love it when a stranger comes in because usually they have a message for me or I for them. Most of the time, but and you know, God does put words in my mouth, and most of the time I'll say, write that down, you know, because I knew it didn't come from me.
Yeah. So what kind of word is God putting in your mind for me?
Well, sometimes you have to pause and let it flow. I would say, don't be nervous, because dentists are great. They are your friend.
Yeah, I know.
You know, take yourself back 200 years and see how long they've come, you know, how far they've come.
I wouldn't even have any teeth then.
Yeah. I didn't either.
That might not be bad. No more shots. But anyway, go
it
ahead.
For myself, and trust me, I want God by my side.
Yeah.
So that's.
Well, thank you. I'll try to watch my attitude about dentists and strange people. Right? Yeah. Okay. Fine. 15 seconds. What do you got?
15 seconds. I don't know where you're at with this, where you stand with God, but I believe that, you know, he's going to be there right with you and nothing to be nervous about.
Will you pray for me that would happen? It's over your 53 minutes, but go ahead.
Well, God, as we both go into a uncomfortable situation, I know that you will be there and there'll be nothing to worry about, and that Jesse can walk in there with confidence and knowing that you're with him and you're with me too. That's
thank you.
I just talked to him. I'm not neutral.
No, that's what your prayers are supposed to be, talking to Jesus, talking to God. I know Micah and Esther have taken in the past, I don't know if you do this anymore, but you take some of the youth group out, and they go to like Walmart or around town in Bloomsburg, and you send them out in pairs and stuff, and they go in and they find somebody they feel like they should go up to. And normally at the end, they say, is there anything we could pray for you for? And what would be your guess? I don't want to put the words in your mouth, but what's the percentage of people that say, sure, I'd like you to pray for me? 80% of people that you go up to say, yeah, I would like a prayer. So that's a good thing to throw out there, right? Because you don't know. And I'll tell you, sometimes those people will say, I never had anybody show any interest in how I'm doing. Thank you.
A lot of people have said to Webb when we just got together, she saved my life, she saved my marriage, and all I was doing was talking to her.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Or listening,
same.
Too, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I'd say 100% of the time, whatever saved their life or marriage was words that God put in my mouth.
Exactly. Yep.
That's what I'd say, write that down.
Yeah.
I never did. I would have had a great book.
Thank you, Stacy. Good job. There went my number 4. So, Amy has a very exciting personality to be around. Why don't you come up? You're a school teacher. You meet strange people all the time. Not the other teachers, some of the students. Ready?
Hi there, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right.
Do you happen to be one of the parents of one of my students? I feel like I've seen you around the area.
You don't look old enough.
Bless your heart, thank you very much. I teach over at Hanover. Do you have any kids or relatives that go to Hanover?
No, the closest ones I have, they go to Northwest. Well, that's clear close.
Oh, my children go to Northwest too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, what grades are they in?
What grades are they in? I think 7th and 5th.
Oh, my goodness. My children go to both the elementary or the intermediate and high school, too. I bet they're probably good friends.
I don't know. What's their name?
Troy and Wesley.
I've heard of a Troy and Wesley before, but I don't know. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, well, they probably know each other.
Could be.
Yeah, they take action in a lot of like sporting events, and they go to church camps. Do you know if your grandchildren go to any kind of sporting events or if they go to church camp?
Yeah, I got a few of them. I had 20 of them show up at kids camp last year.
Oh, that's amazing.
My grandkids.
How was their experience? Did they talk to you about it?
They didn't want to go home.
That's an amazing experience.
I guess so.
My kids have been going since they could at like 4 or 5 years old, and every year they come home with new experiences.
Mm-hmm.
That's an amazing time. Do you know if maybe they'll want to become a counselor someday?
Well, I would love it if I had 20 grandkids to being counselor. We wouldn't even have to get too many outsiders to come. That's half of the camp.
Well, that would be such an encouragement if they all kind of, you know, started here and then they went to camp and then they came back as counselors to talk about their experiences.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
It would be special.
It is. So what kind of encouragement do you do for them to kind of help them want to become counselors or go into camp?
Well, I do two things. I teach them that Christians can have fun. And we have so much fun at camp. That's why they don't want to go home.
That's what my children come home saying, too.
Yeah. And then I try to tell them about how amazing it is that every one of us can have this personal relationship with Jesus. And for the last 10 years, I don't think we've had one kid. We have hundreds of kids every year come. And I don't think we've had one kid leave without inviting Jesus into their life. That's amazing, isn't it?
What a blessing that is.
It is.
So you know that what you and the church and what the camp and the counselors are all doing is, it's really meaningful. It's really poignant in their lives. And I heard that you get a lot of different people from not just Pennsylvania, but across the country too, right?
Yeah, I think last year, 11 states.
They're going back to those 11 states, into their families, into their churches, and kind of just spreading the word that they're learning at camp.
That's what we tell them to do. You're sending them out as missionaries.
Oh, they're beeping at us.
You're beep. And go do a good job being a missionary. Thank you. You see? Anybody can do that. That's why Amy didn't even have time to think about it. But can you see what I'm saying? You just have to be willing to walk across the room up to somebody you've never met before, introduce yourself, and strike up a conversation. You don't have to know what you're going to say. It's better that you don't sometimes. Let God give you those words at the moment, what to say to bring encouragement. And don't expect them to fall on their knees and repent and ask Jesus into their life right away. But just strike up a friendship, being a kind of person that will be there and listen to them as if you really care. And you better really care. I got about 2 or 3 more minutes. Let me tell you about one mistake I made in witnessing one time. This was probably about 10 years ago. And Joel, I know you were with me. Some of the other guys were with me too. And we went down to Bloomtown Park. Okay, everybody knows where that is? It's in Bloomsburg. But anyway, we paired up with people, and then we scattered around, and we were looking for somebody that we could strike up a conversation with and maybe get to pray with or whatever. And then we were going to report back at, say, 7:30, and then we went up to Denny's, I think, for a drink or something, soda or something. We didn't go to Stacy's bar, old bar. Anyway, we went, and speaking of Denny, no, the other Denny. Right there. Good to see you again, Denny. Is it Joyce? Good to see you again, Joyce. They've come off and on over the years. And make sure you say hi to Denny and Joyce. And if you don't know their names, write them down in your second. I have a friend. He never carries a second brain around. But he always has a pen. You know what he does? He pulls out the pen and writes the notes on his hand. And whatever it takes, remember their name. And so who is that guy? Denny. And Joyce, yeah. Is he related to you, Denny? Like a distant cousin? So back to the witnessing down at Loon Park. And I don't remember who I had with me, but we were walking around this little pond that's down there, and they had something on the pole. And I said, well, reel it in. And they're reeling it in. I said, really? It's getting hard to reel in. I said, well, just keep working on it. It was like a dad or a grandpa with a little kid. And he was helping the kid reel it in. And I said, I'm not sure what would be in this little pond that would be that hard. Here it was a big snapping turtle. Yeah. So he reeled it in. And what are you going to do with that? I'll show you. Pulled out a knife. Whoop. Off it swam, okay. He didn't want to make turtle soup. It's really hard to skin a turtle, but that's another story too. But we talked for a while, and he said this, so what are you two doing down here? And I was honest, and I felt like an idiot afterwards. He said, what are you two down here? Well, we're just walking around looking for somebody that needs some encouragement. Maybe we can pray with them. Oh, so you're here just because I'm a guinea pig for you to witness to. Well, yeah. See what I did? I just totally blew it with that guy and his grandkid. I hope I never do that again. I would rather say, well, I just seen you there, and I figured I'd come over and say hi. That's all you have to say. But don't tell them you're looking for a guinea pig to witness to. That was stupid of me. I just blew the opportunity I had. Now, none of you would ever do that, but I did it. So don't do that. Let them know that you're serious about listening to them. Like Joel, you're saying, you just basically quoted my sermon back to me. That was really good. And let them know that you're concerned, just like Buddy, the dentist. Who would like to close in prayer? It was between you and Gordon, so and Marty. So you had your name up, hand up. Go ahead and close us in prayer. And, yep. You can always say something, Marty. Go ahead. Thanks so much for sharing that, Marty. You see, it doesn't have to be even a meeting. Yeah, a phone call. I do email a lot because I wake up in the middle of the night and I take a couple Benadryl because it makes me sleepy. And then after about a half hour, I go back to sleep for a little bit. My doctor encouraged that, and it's helped me a lot over the years. But anyway, I wrote this one email to a couple down in Florida. No, it's not the Steckles and it's not Sandy, but it's another couple. She used to be part of our church 30-some years ago, 35 years ago. And they're having a hard time coming up with a job that can support them. And I sent them some verses that I shared with you last week from Isaiah 43, about how much God cares about you. And she wrote back two nights ago. She said, this is really strange. Those same verses, number one, who are the three people? One was her mother-in-law, ex-mother-in-law, and one was me. And I can't remember who the third one was. All three of you brought up those same verses this week to me. What's the chance of that happening? So you just try to reach out. It's walking across the internet or walking across the phone or walking across whatever, trying to connect to make encouragement. I met Gary at the door is coming in. I said, glad to meet your friend last week and joined you from church. She's from Johnstown. And I said, I wouldn't mind having her address so I can write a little letter, say, thanks for joining us for church, you're always welcome, something like that. Anything we can pray for you for, let us know. And Gary pulled this little piece of paper out of his wallet. He said, I already had her address. Go for it. So see, it's not a hard thing. It's just a mind thing that you're more concerned about other people than yourself. I want to include Marty in that. Let's give all five of them a big hand for great job, guys. Thank you.